Well, Greg and Jake toss out our sheets this morning. I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to our guests. We have quite a few here today. I'd like to thank our elders for giving me the opportunity to speak with you guys this morning. Thank you, Bill. I'm not the full-time preacher here at this congregation for our visitors. Whit Sasser is, and he is out of town. I'll try my best to fill his shoes. If you have heard Whit preach, it's some pretty big shoes to fill. He spreads the word very well. It is such a blessing to see you here. While I have the forefront here, the best thing about being up here is seeing everybody in one accord. We see everybody like one-on-one and even in groups. I see some of you 3, 4, 5 times a week. But why everybody's here, it's really amazing to see everybody here. Okay, starting out this morning, please turn to Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. Thanks, Greg. Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This rejoicing, this peace that the Apostle Paul is talking about here, it all seems to start with the spirit of gratitude. Throughout this entire book, Paul is praising the brethren at Philippi. Turn back a page or two to Philippians 1. We're going to be starting in verse 3. Philippians 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. How greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Turn back over to chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Same book, Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, which I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul here is remembering the tenderness, the generosity, the thoughtfulness that the brethren at Philippi shared with him. Okay? Why would this be strange? Why would this be strange at this time in Paul's life that he would have such an upbeat attitude? Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem. You can read that in Acts 21:33. He had been kept in Caesarea for over 2 years, in Acts 24 and verse 27. He had been shipwrecked, that we know of, on the island of Malta in Acts 27 and verse 12, again in 28 and 1, and continues his incarceration here in Rome, living under a direct possibility of death while writing this letter, Acts 28, verse 30. He sure seems to have an upbeat view of life. After all that, this is what he writes to the Philippians. I'm going to take a page out of the Whit Sasser book here. One second. Note takers, write this down. Okay? Write this down. In times of your stress, in times of your doubt, in times of your persecution, reflect. Give thanks to somebody else for what they've done for you. Okay? Give thanks to somebody else at any time for what they've done for you. In your times of doubt, in your times of persecution, get away from the self-centered attitude that the world loves to tell us is okay. Indulge in yourself. It's okay. It brings it out in us. Everything, everywhere, it seems like. Everywhere you go, it's all about you. We had a study a couple months ago about just phrases that you hear. It's all about you. McDonald's, have it your way. It's ingrained in the society that we live in today. It was ingrained in the society that people lived in 2,000 years ago, 50 years ago. Let's not forget Satan trying to tell us that as well. Let's get back to thinking of others. Let's get back to doing for others and what they've done for us, recognizing that in our lives. That's what your sheets are for. There are three lines on this sheet. Does everybody here have a sheet? Okay. There are three lines on this sheet, and what I need every single person here to do right now is write down three people that you can contact somehow. That you can contact somehow. Write three people down that have had a positive influence on your Christian development. Okay? If you can't name three right now, you got all afternoon. You have all afternoon. Three people who have helped you in your times of doubt, in your times of struggle, in your times of pain. Write those names down. Or somebody who's just been a great example to you. Somebody who has just been a standout example to you as a Christian, and that has helped you along. Write that name down as well. Here's the clincher. After we leave here today, contact those people this afternoon. Not tomorrow, not Wednesday, not Thursday, not this coming up weekend. Because you know what? That's what falls off our planner. If people who have planners, I had to get a planner because I forget. I forget everything. And that's what I forget. I always pay the bills. I don't want my water getting cut off. Melissa helps pay the bills. I try to remember. You know? But that always falls off our list. I'm going to call this person. Man, I miss them. I need to say hi to them. I hadn't talked to them. It's been 2 years now. 2 years have gone by before I talked to this person. It doesn't matter how. By letter, by phone, by email, after services today, before we meet back here again at 6 o'clock tonight, call those people. Let them know. As Paul let the Philippian church know how much he missed them, how much the gifts that they sent to him meant to him. Let them know what peace and joy they've brought into your lives. It will amaze you what that'll do for people. We all here have had a compliment at one time in our lives. And if you've had a compliment on how you've been an example to somebody as a Christian, if you're down, if you're out, if that's your time of stress, if that's your time of persecution, that just threw you through the roof if somebody calls and tells you that. One of my favorite movies is Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Has everybody seen that movie? Okay. It's a funny movie. It is set in the Depression. And three men, I'll give you a short rundown of it. I can talk forever about this movie. I'll give you a short rundown. There's three men who escaped from jail in the Depression. And they're staying at their cousin's house, one of the cousins' house. And, you know, they still got their chains on. They're looking for somebody to cut them off. And it's thick in the Depression. And, you know, he cuts the chains off. I mean, they're eating horse for dinner. It's bad. You know, it's bad. And they're sleeping in the barn that night. And they hear the law coming. And they're all three, you know, huddled up in this barn, you know, sleeping, trying to get warm. And they hear the law coming, and they hear his cousin with them. He's a Hogwaller. That's his cousin's last name. And, you know, the guy that's cousins with this guy looks out, and he sees the law and his cousin standing there, and they're all ready to get these guys. And he says, "What's going on, man?" And he says, "Times are hard, man. The depression's got me down." And the key words is, "I got to do for me and mine. I got to get for me and mine." Is that not the truth today? As funny as that is that not the truth today? I got to do for me and mine. I got to get for me. That is opposite of what the Word of God teaches. Okay. You're probably wondering at this time, too, who that nice lady is that's on that sheet and who the Gomer is standing to the right. The Gomer's me. The lady on that sheet, and I'm going to try not to get choked up here. The lady on that sheet is Frances Sparkman. And before I was a Christian, Frances was in my life. And after I was a Christian, she's been in my life. And since the first day I sat next to her on a pew, I couldn't find Melissa. I was late for church before I was a Christian. Before I was a Christian, yeah. And I was coming in. I couldn't find Melissa, so I took the first seat available. And this is the lady I sat next down to, and that was the best day of my life. One of the best days. I love you, honey. And she introduced herself after services were done, and that was it. In my times of stress, in my times of doubt, when I first moved here, and I was not close to God, Frances called me a lot. And Frances wrote me a lot. And I can't tell you what that did for me in my Christian development. And it didn't seem like it at the time. It was just like, oh, Frances called. It's good to hear from her. Man, I look at that now, and I'm telling you, it's hard. Knowing that one day, I might not get to talk to Frances. You know? Amen. So, I'm going to send Frances a recording of this, so I love you. I love you, Frances. I miss you. Thank you. Okay, please turn to 2 Corinthians now, starting at chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 12. 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 12. But before this, Paul's talking about how we need to be cheerful givers, how God loves a cheerful giver. So leading into that, starting in verse 12, it reads, "For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." For His indescribable gift. Now turn back to Philippians 1. We're going to be starting in verse 19. We read this last night in our small devotional with the kids, and this is just a beautiful part of Paul's letter here. And pay attention to every single word that we're reading here. Philippians 1, starting in verse 19. "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all of your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." That is beautiful. how much he packs in there, with the thoughts that he packs in to these simple verses. We were talking about that on Friday. I wish I could say in four sentences what Paul says in his four sentences. I wish I could sum up the emotions that I have to every person in this room on how much I love you, on how much I care for you. I wish I could do that. The gift that God provides through His Son, as we read, is indescribable. That word is literal. It's indescribable. The peace that God gives us surpasses all understanding. All understanding. It's indescribable. Our mortal minds cannot comprehend what God has done for us. It can try. We can do it as best as possible. We can do things that makes our minds recognize that more, but we'll never understand it until we meet the Lord. The peace that we have starts when we pick up our cross to follow Jesus Christ. The obedience to Him is what brings out that joy. Joy is the fruit of our right relationship with God. That's how it's brought out. We can't create it. There's nothing on this earth that gives us that peace, that gives us that joy that we can't describe or that has surpassing of all understanding. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing we can create. There's nothing you can buy that will give you that. Nothing. The world will have you to believe that. And it gets every single one of us. $100,000 Ferrari? Whoo! Okay, that's fun. That's an afternoon of fun. Not this joy. Not this peace. You name it. The study in Ecclesiastes that you all are doing on Wednesday night, especially in chapter 2, really sums that up in the best way. How about this feeling? Let me give you this. How about this feeling? The feeling that you had when you first decided to follow Christ as opposed to following yourself, whenever that was for you, you confessed His name and you put Him on in baptism. When you came out of that water, you know that feeling?
Yes.
Everybody here, most everybody here remembers that feeling. That is indescribable. That's the peace I'm talking about. How about when we worship together? Do you guys have that spirit? Do you have that feeling? Yeah? I see heads nodding, some just know. Okay. All right. We're here to worship God together. Together, you and I. Here. Ephesians 5:17 through 19 reads this. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do we have this Spirit when we're worshiping? Are we giving God our first fruits when we come here? Or is it, oh, God is so good. It's early. We're here together. Look around. Just do a quick 180. Look around. There's people in this room. You're not the only one here. They don't show up directly after we say amen of the closing prayer, which Jameson will have here in a moment. They're here the whole time. Sometimes when I sing, my brother Eddie, my brother-in-law Eddie, gave a great example in a sermon that he preached, and I know I'm stealing his thunder here, but I do it too, and it made me laugh. When I sing, I look around at everybody, and it's not because I'm distracted. I like y'all. I love y'all. I love seeing. I love speaking to you in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love that. The spirit that I have when we do that, I can't explain it. And who would have thought a roughneck from Memphis, Tennessee, a high school dropout that had nothing going for him would be here trying to explain the feeling that God gives him when he speaks in spiritual songs and hymns to his brethren. Who would have thought? And I look around, and I'm sorry, and if it offends anybody, I'm sorry. I love it. I can't quit doing it. And some people will you know, I'm not calling anybody out. I've been in congregations where I look around and they're like, turn around, dude. Face the front. Pay attention. Everybody stand up, please. Stand up. Face one another. Buddy up. Face one another. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you. Face one another. All right, I'm going to lead a song. I'll do the best I can. Everybody follow along and sing to one another. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I've treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I know I messed that up, but the point I'm trying to make is that we're all here together. Let's have that spirit every single time we sing a song here. Okay? Please be seated. Thank you. Interactive portion done. Sorry. That's the peace that God gives us. Let's indulge that together. If we are Christ's, we must crucify our flesh's passions and desires. We have to defend this peace and joy that we have. It's hard. It is hard sometimes. It's impossible sometimes, it seems. But we have to do it. Brother Rennie gave a great lesson on endurance, and it is so true. And Bill and I have talked about this example so much, as well as others. When we are in sin, when we lose track of this peace and joy that God gives us, we are in a dark cave. And it's deep, and it's dark, and you can't see, it seems, sometimes. But then you make a change in your life. And you begin to climb out of this cave. You begin to see where you're at and you start climbing. And through your repentance, you keep climbing. And your faith in God and your study, you keep getting out of this cave. And then soon, you reach and you're out of this cave. And the first person you see when you get out of this cave is yourself. You're staring face to face with yourself. Do not kick yourself back down in that cave. And what I mean by that is the sin that you had in that cave, through your repentance, you got out of that cave. If you've sinned in the past and you, through your repentance and your faith in God, let it go. Yes, sir. It's hard. I know it is hard, but you have to let it go. That's what the renewing of our minds is all about. Yes, having faith that God has forgiven you through your repentance. God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Yes, sir. Don't forget your lesson. Grieve in your time of sin. Just as David did. Grieve. But you have to let it go. If you don't, you're just going to keep kicking yourself back down in that cave. I love each and every one of you here. I'm thankful to be able to speak with you. I hope that I never have to come to a point in time in my life to see any of you fall away from God. But if you do, I want each and every person here to know that my wife and I will be there for you. And I expect y'all to be there for us. In closing, Please turn to 1 John chapter 2. Beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's not let Satan fool us with his false peace, with his false joy that can come in every single way possible. Don't let him do it. It won't add up. It won't amount to anything compared to God's peace and God's joy. And you all who have been faithful Christians or now faithful Christians know that. The peace that you have, the joy that you get, there's nothing that you can buy. There's nothing that you can do. There's no vacation you can take that even comes close to being in God's good graces. This world is passing away. God is not. These are not peace. If we wish to continue to live in the Spirit, then we must walk in it. Period. We have to crucify what our passions and desires are. We have to put them to death. Galatians 5:24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Let the world talk. Let them talk. We'll let God. We'll let God and His Word talk. Romans 12:12 says, the renewing of our minds transforms us from the world. It transforms us from what the world is. The world is passing away. God is not. Let's keep a hold of the peace and the joy that He brings us. Our mortal minds will never be able to comprehend it all. But let's indulge the times in which we have to express that peace and express that joy together. That's the lesson for this morning. Amen. If there's anybody here who in times past or currently needs the prayers of this congregation, if you feel that you're kicking yourself back down in that cave every single time and you need the prayers from us to help you get through that, prayer avails much. It will help. Please let the brethren here know. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe in what He did for us by dying for us, confess His name, put Him on in baptism. If it's sitting on your heart, don't let it sit there any longer. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. The Lord knows your heart better than anybody else. He knows it better than you do. So if it's sitting on your heart, if you need the prayers, if you feel that you have to be baptized today, don't wait any longer. The Lord knows. And I think everybody in this room knows as well. Let's stand and sing the song.